This is URN.
Former all-female Oxford College that had been set up by a woman for women has been criticised for fielding an all-male team in University Challenge, the well-known programme on television. Amongst those questioning the decision include the pro-vice-chancellor of the University of Brighton. So it had backlash on social media. St Hugh's College had begun admitting men in 1987, but when they presented an all-male team this year at the University Challenge, Jeremy Paxman joked that on the basis of tonight's team, we could be forgiven for thinking that they've rather taken it over. So the team said that the team members were selected by students and that it should be acknowledged that each university has its own selection process. And it should also be said that not all the viewers were criticising the team. Many made the argument that University Challenge is about intelligence and not gender. One viewer wrote on Twitter, "I wonder if something founded by men would get the same reaction if all women were supporting its cause. Get over it." Another one commented, "I love everyone complaining about the all-male team. Ain't about gender. Best get on the team. Simples." So what do we think? Is it really, as this viewer so charmingly put it, simples?
I have to say, like, as much as I want to say that, you know, it's wrong and stuff, I do actually kind of see the argument that, you know, it is no longer an all-female college. It is men and women. And, okay, an all-male team, that's not great. It should have been men and women. But I'm not necessarily sure that they should be absolutely chastised for it.
But should it have been all male and women? The use of should implies that somehow we should be making it so that women get on the team, but would that not be positive discrimination if these have been chosen by students and they've won some sort of place?
Yeah, it does depend on how you view the idea of positive discrimination. I'm generally not a massive fan of positive discrimination, not because it can in some ways negatively impact me, but because I don't actually view pretty much in every example of positive discrimination, to me, what it says is people of this section of society, whatever it is being positively discriminated for, cannot do this of their own merit. Now, there are times when it's merited, times when a lot of things that economically disadvantaged people get more of a chance because they wouldn't have had the chances otherwise. That I completely understand.
That happens often with university places.
Absolutely.
With internships. I know internships, a lot of people do complain that about the positive discrimination in internships, saying it's not fair that I don't get the same opportunities. However, you make the good point that if someone literally, because of their economic background, would never have been able to go to school, to university, then is it not fair that this is a new pathway for them?
Absolutely. You know, I think most people, regardless of their views on hot topic political issues and social issues, all sorts of things, I think everybody's in favour of equality of opportunity. The idea that everyone should have equal opportunities to do things,
however
that may be. However the opportunities may be. However, as I think you were going to point out, there are times when that spirals a little bit further. The idea of, you know, taking it to one of the more famous examples of this is all women political shortlists, like for candidates for MP. Now, to me, that says if a woman, any of these women, had to run against a man in their constituency, they would not win.
See, I disagree with you there on that, David, because I think rather than it implying that women are incapable, it's them trying to ensure that women feel like they have a voice in Parliament and trying to improve the number of females that are represented in Parliament. So I think in that case, this is a positive case of positive discrimination in that they're ensuring that women get represented, because if you look at that and you consider it as a social problem, there are not enough women getting involved in politics. Is that because of years and years of tradition of politics being a male-dominated field? We only need to look at the media's response to female politicians to see that for a female entering politics is incredibly daunting and intimidating. It's an intimidating place to work for a woman. And you just need to see what it's people say in the media and the way they're treated, or also female journalists, as we were discussing the female political correspondent that needs a bodyguard now to attend the Labour conference.
It is ridiculous that some of this stuff coming out, and I don't disagree.
That is, rather than saying women are incapable, it's rather saying we need to ensure that at all costs, females are represented in government. And if that means that we make certain categories female only, then so be it, because at least that is a way of... This is not so much about the female politicians. This is about representing the country as a whole. We are not a country made up of 80% men.
Yeah, just... I feel like this conversation's kind of veered off into the less trivial than what this actual article was, because really, in my opinion, this article is on by face value quite a trivial article. It's, you know, should a female a previously all-female college have presented an all-male university challenge group? And I mean, for me, I personally just wouldn't really care whether it was all-male or all-female, because, but I think perhaps if you look at it in a broader spectrum, it's more an article about female representation in general.
So we started out on a trivial topic, but if you open that up, and it also should be said, this has been done in the context that the quiz show has faced years and many complaints in the past that is male dominated. And Paxman himself was forced to address this. I think he wrote an article in the Financial Times saying, since that what we know about intelligence is not determined by gender, it must be a question of taste. So he was arguing that potentially there is some sort of bias, but he also makes a fair point that the teams are not chosen by any authority, but by the student themselves. And considering that, I think actually there are more females that attend university than boys. I believe like that's what recent figures have been showing, and more girls graduate with a higher grade than boys. Is it just a case that maybe more boys go for these roles, or is this a case of the social issue that women are less competitive, or that they feel they can't be as competitive? Because this is something people have written about in the past, that women are discouraged from a young age in the education system to be as competitive as boys.
I think there's a difference between competitiveness and intelligence. I don't think there's enough, simply to go scientific on this, I don't think there's enough data in university challenge applicants and people who are successful to get on the show to determine whether it is a societal and a social problem. I do agree there are good examples of spheres. You know, University Challenge is a show that has had a male bias throughout the entirety of the show.
And the show and the teams continue to show a strong percentage, a higher percentage of men than women.
But there are other, you know, again, not to sidetrack, but I think there isn't enough evidence to determine
that. Surely we have to question
that.
Why that is. Surely there must be.
But so take the
University of
Nottingham.
It might seem trivial on the surface, but surely there is some sort of social, economic, or, well, in this case, it would be social reason why.
The human brain is hardwired to look for patterns wherever we may see them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they exist. Now, I'm not saying it does not exist, and I'm not saying all is above board, but I can only base it on the entrance for the University of Nottingham team to University Challenge, which in the first 2 years of uni I attempted, and there are at least, I think, 5-6 rounds to it, and I didn't get past the first one. I think I answered one question in 2 years, because it is, of course, super hard. But the paper is, you know, however many questions, I think it's 20 questions, it might be online now, I can't remember off the top of my head, in X amount of time, you're not allowed to click off the page. A computer doesn't know whether you are.
No, but I don't think the problem is the selection process.
But then
it's interesting to see how many girls put themselves up for this role.
That's the question. I think that is a very, very valid point. Because
I don't
think
anyone's not selecting them. I think maybe they're not going for it. And the question is why?
As someone who has a very, very, very limited viewing history of University Challenge, when I imagine the people that go on University Challenge, they're incredibly middle class, white, rich, posh boys.
And that has been what the show's been criticised for the past.
And I wonder who watches the show. I think it's probably
my dad.
Those same people 30 years later. Like,
there's definitely a culture to it, and a lot of people that go for it might have some sort of, it's almost like when you have with Oxbridge, that kind of family tradition. I think that does carry on to the University Challenge team. So the question that I think we should pose is not that, I'm not suggesting that people are only selecting boys. I think that's completely ridiculous.
So,
and it's not the show's fault.
How could you change it then? How could it be changed in such a way that a show like that, which is showcasing the brightest universities, I mean, it does have a reputation for being the most intelligent quiz show on television, and I don't think anything gets anywhere near it. Only Connect is, I think, the hardest show on television, but that's because it requires a bizarre skill set and knowledge set, whereas University Challenge requires such an in-depth knowledge of so many things. How can we change it then? If there is this problem,
well, we have to ask why. Why people aren't going for it. That's the question. Why are there less, well, if there are less girls applying to go on to University Challenge, why is that?
But then if you've put a caveat there, if.
Exactly, I don't know.
If we don't know that that's true, How can we go about fixing a problem? I don't disagree. I don't disagree that there could be a problem. I don't disagree that there is something to generally, all the way down through school age. We had a similar discussion earlier in the, was it earlier in the week or last week, about how sometimes, you know, it starts at it starts well beyond A levels. It starts way beyond university. That girls in particular are discouraged from certain subjects, and that then, in an attempt to redress the balance at university, there are some measures which don't make any objective sense.
It's the same criticism that's been made of perhaps the why there are less women in politics, is that they have been discouraged from a young age to get involved in politics, to get involved in it. I think the competitive nature could potentially be, well, obviously we are only, this is all completely speculative. We can't say we haven't got the facts, but it's definitely an interesting topic.
Whilst I said before that, you know, whilst we don't know if there's a problem, we can't do anything about it, that's not necessarily true. One way we could find out about that is by actually encouraging. How can we encourage more women into certain roles, into certain things? And politics is a good example. The all women shortlist is one way that they've tried that. At universities, try and get women into STEM subjects. They try and give, well, physics, I know, definitely has a grant. A female physicist can apply for a grant, certain amount of money, which...
Again, that poses a question.
Well, it does pose questions.
And
is it fair to object, you know, turn that round? Could a man on a course where there's fewer men claim the same thing? I don't think so, but there are so many of these questions. And the only way to find out whether there is such a bias that can be dealt with is to try changing it. And if nothing changes when we've tried changing it, then it will pose a question of what can be done.
That is a question of how you quantify how much you've changed.
Exactly.
As well. But I have to say, I think for me personally, the way that I would view this is that offering opportunity is the best way to improve this. And if women aren't feeling like they can go for things, aren't seeing themselves represented on TV, in Parliament, wherever it may be, they're not seeing themselves represented, they won't go for things because they won't see themselves in that position. And I think that is probably the crux of this issue.
I don't think anyone could put that any better. That was perfectly summarised there. This is URN.